You're listening to a sermon from Plus Life, a church that exists to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you will be stirred in your heart and renewed in your mind as you hear the preaching of God's word today.
Evening, church. Let's all stand in the presence of God in the reading of Scripture. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we will read from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this time you've given us to be in your presence. We thank you, God, that you are so good to us and that you've taken care of us this past week and that you've brought us together as a family of God here tonight. Lord, we are here to hear from your word and to listen to your truth. We pray that you would enable me to speak by the power of your spirit. And God, we are praying that you'd enable all of us here with a heart that is open and receptive to receive from your word. And God, we are praying that every instruction that we receive from your word, that we would apply it, and that our heart motive would be right before you. And Lord, we remember what you have accomplished in your life, death, and resurrection for us. And we are asking all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon tonight is Duty to Serve. God, our Father in heaven, saved us from the peril and power of sin through the work of his Son Jesus and by the power of his Spirit. And now we who were under the domain of darkness have been transferred into the kingdom of light. And our Father in heaven is called the Father of lights. James chapter 1 verse 17 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every gift, especially the gift of salvation, is a gift from the Father. And tonight, we will see from Scripture how we are to live as saved people in the local church. How we have a duty to serve in the congregation of God's people. And how we are obligated to use our spiritual gift in accordance with Scripture. Now, I don't intend to spend a lot of time defining the various kinds of spiritual gifts, the different views among Christians, or even how to identify your spiritual gift. While those topics are important and even relevant, a more pressing and more important matter that lies underneath spiritual gifts is how to serve in the local church. And that is my intention for tonight. My goal is for you to leave with a stirred heart to serve in the church. If you don't have a heart to serve the local church, then it doesn't matter what spiritual gift you have. So let us first be eager to serve in the local church. Let us be zealous in our efforts to bless one another through our ministries. Let us be determined to be contributors in the church and not have a consumerist mentality. Let us recognize that every single one of us as Christians have a duty to serve in the local church. But before we proceed with our main passage that we just read, please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to draw out some quick observations about spiritual gifts before we look at our main passage in 1 Peter. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. So this is Paul here speaking to the Corinthian church. And what he's about to say, we can draw some observations because he's making a summary about spiritual gifts. Jump down to verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Jump down to verse 11, please. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So here's the first observation for us tonight. Spiritual gifts are not earned, but are given by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to say that again. Spiritual gifts are not earned, but are given by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are not earned. You cannot obtain a spiritual gift by your own will. You cannot transfer your spiritual gift to another Christian. Spiritual gifts, and I'm not talking about talents or natural abilities, I'm talking about spiritual gifts. You cannot give that to someone else because only the Holy Spirit himself can give it. He may use the laying on of hands by the pastors and elders, but by no means is the pastor or elder giving you the spiritual gift. Don't make that mistake. Verse 11 of this Corinthian passage very clearly says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So spiritual gifts are not earned, but are given by the Holy Spirit. Just remember, if it's hard to get this in, just remember that a spiritual gift is a gift. And gifts, you can't earn them. Observation number two. Spiritual gifts are not identical, but are led by the Lord. Verse 5 says, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. In the body of Christ, in this church, there are varieties of spiritual gifts, services and activities, ministries of the word, prayer and service. Even within those ministries of the word, for example, there is a ministry of the word that you have here in the local gathering every week. And then there's the ministry of the word that happens in life groups. Then there's the ministry of the word that happens in first groups. Within that category itself, you see the varieties, right? So similarly is the case with every kind of spiritual gifts. Then there is the ministry of prayer within life groups. And then the prayer night that is coming up at the end of this month, that where we come together as a local church. There are many kinds of ministries in the church. However, all ministry in the church is led by the same Lord. And we serve under his ministry, his leadership, through the administration of the elders and pastors and deacons and all those who serve in that capacity, according to Scripture. So what all of that means from this observation is this. We must not assume that the worship ministry, for example, is led by the Lord more than the connections ministry. Or that the missions ministry is led by the Lord more than the social ministry of the church. All ministries in the church, regardless of size, impact, or frequency, is led by the same Lord, and it all serves Him. That's our second observation. Our third observation is spiritual gifts are not powerful. Spiritual gifts are not powerful, but are empowered by God. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual gifts are not powerful, but are empowered by God. Verse 6 says, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. This is very important. Spiritual gifts are not inherently able or powerful to bless the church, meaning spiritual gifts are only effective in the church when God our Father empowers the gift through His Spirit. So the reason why you are effective in ministry is not because of your gift, but because of God the Father empowering you through His Spirit to be a blessing for others in the church. Your ability to speak or ability to make good coffee is not why you're so spiritually gifted. In fact, there are secular people, I'm sure, who can speak 10 times better than the elders of the church. There are musicians who are 100 times better than all the instrumentalists here on the worship team. But the reason why you are blessed in the gathering of the church is because God the Father is working in every individual who's serving in the church to your blessing, to your benefit. So no one can take credit in the local church, whether it's the preacher or the musician or the singer. No one can take credit because it is God who empowers every Christian to serve each other. It is far better to stutter under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit than to orate with eloquence on your own. Now, if you paid close attention to these three observations, you should have noticed something. You should have noticed the Trinity. Did you notice that in the verses? The Father, Son, and Spirit, all three persons of the Trinity, triune being of God, are involved with spiritual gifts in the local church. The Spirit gives, the Lord leads, and the Father empowers spiritual gifts. So it's a very important matter. Observation number 4. Spiritual gifts are given to all Christians. Everyone's blessed. Okay, spiritual gifts are given to all Christians. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Every single Christian is given at least one spiritual gift. Our God is too generous to restrain Himself from blessing His blood-bought children with spiritual gifts. What this implies is that God has an expectation. He has an expectation for every single one of us, every single believer, to use their gift in the body of Christ. Dear brother, dear sister, do not wrongly assume that you are not gifted or that you are unable to contribute in a meaningful way in the local church. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41, Jesus says that whoever does a mighty work in His name, even someone who gives a cup of water to Jesus' disciples, will by no means lose his reward. Even if you are the water boy of the church, Jesus personally is going to reward you for it. He is going to see to it that you are rewarded for your service in the local church. Your service in the body of Christ will be rewarded. Everyone is expected to serve in the church, which we see next. Observation number 5. Spiritual gifts are spiritual if it is for the common good of the church. Spiritual gifts are spiritual if it is for the common good of the church. Verse 7 again says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? For the common good. God has blessed you with spiritual gifts for the common good of the church. See, in that same chapter, after Paul talks about spiritual gifts being a common good and how all the various ministries work together under the same Lord, he doubles down in that same chapter by drawing a picture of one body and many members. How everyone has a role to play for the blessing of the whole body. Now, you may ask, it's a valid question. People outside the church have speaking and serving skills, right? So what's the difference between those individuals and us who serve in the church? Well, the difference between a natural ability or a talent and a spiritual gift are two things. First, your reliance upon the Holy Spirit. If you're not relying upon the Holy Spirit to serve in the church, you're using your own capability or talent or whatever it is. The difference between a natural ability and a spiritual gift is, first of all, you're relying on the Holy Spirit. Second of all, you're doing it for the common good of the church. You're doing it for others. Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 11 says that he wants to impart, to share, to distribute some spiritual gift of his that will strengthen the church, which will reciprocate and bless him. If I serve in worship simply because of my own piano skills, for example, and not depend on the Holy Spirit, and play the piano without a regard for your well-being of drawing your attention to Christ, I'm not operating in a spiritual gift, as per the scriptures. If God is not involved, how is it a spiritual gift? That's the way to think about it. If you don't exercise your gift for the common good of the church, how is it a spiritual gift? God blesses all Christians with spiritual gifts to strengthen each other in the church. Now, you may say, well, nobody sees what I do. Nobody sees what I do in the church compared to those who serve on the worship team who are up in the front. So how can my role in the church be that important? Okay. So in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. 22 says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. As Christians, when we put on clothes and dress ourselves, we cover up areas that are unpresentable. For example, we won't expose our chest. In fact, those areas we cover, we value it to be so precious that it would be shameful for us to uncover ourselves outside of marriage. Similarly, please hear me, church. This is very key. What Paul here is alluding to is that ministries in the church that seem insignificant or invisible are not any less honorable than public ministries like those on a platform. Rather, he's saying those who work behind the scenes are like our internal organs and hidden parts of the body that are vital for life. You can live with an amputated hand, but you can't live without a stomach. There's a difference. That's why he's saying there's greater honor. It's indispensable. All this to say, when you serve in ways at the church that is not visible, it is very precious in the body of Christ. Do not take your service in the church lightly, because God doesn't do that. Use your spiritual gift to serve for the common good of the church. Observation number 6, and this is our last observation from this passage. Spiritual gifts are given individually to each Christian. Spiritual gifts are given individually to each Christian. Verse 11 says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is very important for us to hear. You wanting to be like someone else in the church will never happen. It'll never happen. God has given you a specific measure of faith and then gave you a unique upbringing and experience in life, and even further, apportioned the gift to you in whatever the measure he willed, so that you will uniquely be able to bring value in the body of Christ to the praise of his glory that no one else in all of history will be able to do. That's mind-blowing. Brother Benji will never preach like Pastor Ian and I. Nor Ian and I him. Nor Ian and I each other. We serve to teach and lead, but we do it with our own upbringing, our own maturity, our own experiences, our own apportion of the Spirit and measure of faith God gave to us. It would be foolish for Benji to try to be like me or me try to be like him. It would be foolish for you to try to be like someone else in the church. You can learn from each other, but the point is God has uniquely gifted you to bring service in the church. So putting all our observations, 6 observations together, let me encourage you with this. God the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of you who trusts in Jesus spiritual gifts unique to you for the common good of the church. And all our ministries in the church, regardless of the visibility, scope, or impact, is led by Christ himself. And your service is spiritual and effective in the church only because God our Father empowers us through his Spirit. Amen? Amen. With these observations in mind, let us now turn our Bibles back to our main passage, 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll focus our attention on verse 10 and 11 and see what is our role in this, how we are to serve in the local church with the spiritual gifts God has given each one of us. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So here is our first instruction from Peter. Serve humbly. Serve humbly. Brothers and sisters, it is important for us to recognize that anything we do in the local church, we ought to do it with a humble heart. The very fact that some of us are gifted in music or wisdom or discernment or encouragement or faith or hospitality or administration or leadership is because you received a spiritual gift that blesses others in the church. It is a gift. You did not earn it. So there is nothing for you to boast about. So be humble. It is not a natural ability that you're using. Then it is not a spiritual gift. It is the Spirit of God working in you, strengthening the faith of others who are blessed by your service. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says this. This is Paul speaking. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Church, there is no place for us to boast in our service at church. And I say this especially to those who serve God in a ministry that is visible. Ministries that lead people or minister from a platform. Don't fall down and become disqualified in your ministry because of pride. The greater your platform, the greater the impact, which means your greater impact could either lead you to greater honor to the Lord or greater dishonor to the Lord. To those who serve behind the scenes, I say, don't diminish your value. That is pride under the disguise of self-pity. God has purchased you with the blood of his son Jesus, so how can you prefer to be valued based on your visibility in the church? Don't assume your visibility to others is a direct correlation of your effectiveness in serving. This is for both who serve in a ministry that is seen or unseen. Ask yourself, when someone compliments you, when someone compliments your service in the church, how do you receive that affirmation? This is to ask your own self, your own heart. How do you take it when someone affirms you in your ministry? Are you happy to see God blessing your service, or are you happy to receive the praise for your service? Now, don't get me wrong. Affirmation in the body of Christ is good, and it is a part of encouraging others. But this question is to the one receiving, or at least expecting, affirmation from others. When you don't receive affirmation, do you define your worth to be less? Do you find your worthiness in the body of Christ based on how people talk about your service, about your preaching, your singing, or giving, or whatever ministry you're called to serve? Do you compare yourself with others? Do you think that you are superior or inferior to another gifted person in the same ministry? May I suggest that if you are struggling with wanting affirmation from people, then your heart is struggling with your affirmation in Christ. Let me make it more plain. You cannot serve humbly without first believing your worth in Christ. Why? Because the moment Christ is no longer enough for you to serve in the church, nothing else will be. And you will have exchanged your identity, your worth in Christ for something else, namely something sinful. And what is this that is sinful? Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For am I now, this is Paul speaking again, am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul here in Galatians is not talking about ignoring your efforts to have a good reputation in society, but rather he's calling out those in the church who are seeking, longing, wanting the approval, affirmation, praise, validation from other believers to be in service to Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you seek the approval of others in some way, then you are not being a servant of Christ. Period. So please check your heart. Why are you serving in the church today? Why are you serving at this church today? Are you trying to look good to others here? Or look good to the leaders? Or are you doing it to feel good about yourself? Then that flies in the face of the gospel of grace. Do you find happiness when you get to amaze people with your piano skills or guitar skills? Do you ultimately create graphics for productions to show how modern and crisp you are? And that's it? Or do you serve in your area with excellence to please God and bless others? It's a serious question that we all need to ponder upon and ask ourselves as we serve in the local church. Our heart always needs fine-tuning. Brothers and sisters, serve humbly in the church. As each has received a gift, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Here's our second instruction for tonight. Serve selflessly. Serve selflessly. Serving is the expression of our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, God our Father in heaven sent his only Son to the world, and the Son of God added to himself flesh. He became human by being conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a Virgin Mary. This God-man Jesus Christ lived not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 7 says it like this. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. My friends who are not Christians, my friends, if you're not a Christian, if you are hearing me, I implore you to first seek refuge under the shadow of God's wings. Don't trust your good efforts. Don't trust your heart. There is nothing in you that is worthy of heaven, that is worthy of God. God is not obligated to save anyone, but he's so gracious that he offers his only son, Jesus, that if you trust in Jesus' perfect life of obedience to God for you, his sacrificial death for the punishment of your sin, and his powerful resurrection from the dead that secures his claim as God and Savior of sinners like you, then you will be saved from your sins and the judgment of God, and you will receive eternal life with God. So I implore you, repent of your sins. I urge you, and turn to faith in Christ. If we have learned anything this past week from that tragic helicopter accident, it is that our life on earth is so small, so fragile. Death is merciful to no one, but to those who trust in Jesus, death is a mercy to escape the power of sin and truly rest in peace. My brothers and sisters, though we long to be with Christ, let us follow his perfect example in our service to one another as long as God gives us breath. As long as we have today, we don't know if we have tomorrow, as long as we have today, live for the service of one another in the church. The gospel should rid us of our pride, and not an ounce of conceit should remain, because we don't deserve what we have today and forever, an eternal salvation, a glorious gift of grace. And if that be the case, then we ought to serve him from a heart that is changed, that is shaped by our Savior's work from his earthly ministry for the redemption of sinners. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5 says it like this: For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Family of God, when you serve in the church, don't simply do it for your own benefit. Don't serve because you want to be noticed or you feel like you have earned some kind of good standing before God. No, serve because you find pleasure in seeing your brother and sister strengthened in their faith through your act of service, empowered by God. This means that you're not simply thinking about yourself anymore. You are thinking about how you can contribute in the church, how you can be a blessing for someone else. In that Philippians portion, it says that let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So here's a practical way to think about it. When your friends come to you and say, we're going to do things on a Saturday night, this is an opportunity for you to prioritize your service to one another in the local gathering. This is an opportunity for you to say, no, my priority on a Saturday night is to serve and love those brothers and sisters that need me to serve in that capacity. You're not looking to your own interests anymore. You're looking to the interests of those brothers and sisters who may need that word of encouragement, who may need that gift of smile, who may need that gift of prayer, who may need your hug. You're putting your brothers and sisters in the local church before you put yourself up. And to those parents who have children, when there's a Christmas play and your child ends up being the tree, it's not a bad thing. It's sad that our parents now, in some way or another, say that you have an insignificant role as a tree in a Christmas play. No, instead, discipline and show your child that even as a tree, you bring joy to the Father. That's a different conversation. It doesn't matter if you are the center man of the entire play compared to being a tree. If you're the center man and doing nothing to the glory of Christ, but being a tree for the glory of God, how much more sweeter? It's important for parents especially to protect the young ones. How to think when they may give seemingly insignificant or invisible roles in the church. Ask yourself, if you are serving in the church today, are you serving with a heart of love for your brothers and sisters in the church? When you spend time fixing the chairs or setting up the Connect Lounge or making sure the inventory is good or making sure your schedule is up to date, right? Do you do it because that's how you are supposed to behave as a Christian? Or is your heart motivated to serve your brother and sister in the church? I got to do this as soon as possible so that the church will function well for the blessing of others. Why do you care about trying to identify your spiritual gift too much? Is it to pursue, earn, or obtain a spiritual gift you don't have? Or is it to help the church in an area of need? What is more important to you? Churches who exercise spiritual gifts but ignore bitterness among people go against the clear teaching of the biblical text, since love ought to be on display. You can have all the spiritual gifts, but if there's no love in the church, it's a useless effort. Because the whole thrust of Paul's argument at the end is love. Let us renew our mind to serve one another out of a heart of love and not for ourselves. Let us serve selflessly. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Here's our third instruction from Peter. Serve faithfully. Serve faithfully. In the Bible, when it talks about stewardship, it talks about the owner of the household assigning someone or some people, his servants, to look after his house. So when Peter instructs us to be good stewards, he's talking about being good stewards in the household of God, the church. And not just that, he says good stewards of God's varied grace. We kind of touched upon this earlier in our observation. The meaning here for varied grace is multicolored, diverse, various kinds of grace. Isn't that beautiful? So for those who enjoy physics or science things, right? White light or sunlight is made up of many wavelengths of different color. And you can tell this when you pass sunlight or white light through a prism. Prism is just a triangular transparent object where you can pass stuff through like light, right? The light enters through the prism and comes out as a rainbow. And sometimes you may have noticed this when you're drinking or you have a glass full of water and you put it against a white sheet of paper, you see rainbow sometimes, right? Why? Because what that proves is that the sunlight or the white light that's shining through, it has all these different colors. And together, when all the colors come together, is what we have as white light or sunlight. I hope this hasn't flown over your head. That's the furthest I'm going. All right? Bear with me. So when God sends the light of the gospel into our hearts, we all have our own spiritual gifts, spiritual wavelength, if you will, our own spiritual color that reflects the beauty of Christ in some unique way. And when all the spiritual gifts and all the spiritual wavelengths, all the spiritual colors come together, our varied ministries, our varied gifts in the body of Christ come together, the body of Christ illuminates one glorious, purified, sanctified, and holy light in the world. And the whole world will know the light of the gospel through your, mine, our individual gifts of service to one another. Or more commonly understood, the world will know the church as we express our love for one another through service. God has blessed you with something unique to contribute in the church. And we as a family of God ought to serve as faithful servants. Whenever good stewardship is talked about in Scripture, it's always, always to do with faithfulness. Be faithful. Ask yourself, do you set apart time to learn the songs before you come to rehearse for worship? Do you arrive on time to set up the Connect Lounge? Are you faithfully monitoring the snack inventory? Now that we know that the prayer night is at the end of this month on a Sunday, are we right now putting it on our calendars, I am booked? Oof. Are you updating your availability for your respective teams on time and not bailing out the last second? It's all a heart issue. It's all a heart issue at this point. Do you go out of your way to encourage someone? Here's a challenge for you tonight. After service, find someone and encourage them in their service at the local church, at our church. Bless them and encourage them. Are you serving faithfully in the church? Peter in verse 11 also puts all spiritual gifts under two categories. All spiritual gifts under two categories. Spiritual gifts that entail speech or spiritual gifts that entail service. Whether you write a blog for the church or prep the snacks for service, serve faithfully as a good steward of the church God has entrusted you with. Romans chapter 12 verse 6 to 8 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. As long as you have breath in your lungs, do not neglect your service to your brother or sister in the church. You may have an exam. You may have other commitments. You may have debt. You may be too busy with a new baby. You may be exhausted with your children or work. You may be retired. You may be old. But don't let any of those things deter you or change your heart's motive. I really want to serve in the church so that I can bless someone else. Don't let any of those gifts that God has given you change you and make you into a person that He does not want you to be. He wants you to use those gifts, and He wants you to come to the church and bless others. Let's continue. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here is our final instruction for tonight in how to serve in the local church. Serve purposefully. Serve purposefully. Brothers and sisters, Peter is defining for us the purpose of serving in the church. What is it? To what end must we long for when we serve in the church? What should be the purpose behind our efforts? What should be the purpose we hold to when we put out the chairs or sing songs for worship or control the sound or take pictures, preach or discern or pray or prophesy or encourage or serve? It is to glorify God through Jesus Christ. A famous theologian once said that the church is the mirror that reflects the whole effulgence of the divine character. It is the grand scene in which the perfections of Jehovah are displayed to the universe. That's the whole point. This is why we serve and why we do what we do. Peter earlier says in chapter 2 that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? So that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The church is to proclaim the excellencies of our God. And the exercise of spiritual gifts, our serving in the church, are to be purposed for the glory of Christ. We are to serve in the body of Christ to bring glory to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you are unable to find meaning or purpose in your service to Christ at church, I want to give you Peter's instruction. Serve in order that in everything God is glorified. Or another way to see it is like this. The God of the universe, the triune being of God who is so supreme and so valuable and glorious, chooses to glorify himself through your unique effort. Even if your ministry is not seen by anyone else, the King of the universe glories himself through your service. Find joy in that you get to ascribe glory to God. Find joy in how God uses you to bless others. And I mean it, you will respond in adoration to God, who enables you to do the very thing you enjoy. So as we conclude here, I ask the worship team to please make their way up. As we conclude here, my dear brothers and sisters, God has given us a duty. He has given us a duty to serve in the church. And this is not an option for some of us. This is a command. This is a duty. This is an obligation, regardless of your limitations or age or circumstances. Don't neglect your responsibility to love the church. God has blessed you. He has blessed you with spiritual gifts for the common good of the church. Knowing this, remember the instructions we saw from Peter tonight on how to serve in the church. Number one, serve humbly. Serve humbly. Number two, serve selflessly. That's good. Everyone's paying attention. Number three, serve faithfully. And number four, serve purposefully. May God grant us the wisdom and strength to practice spiritual gifts in the church and serve one another in love so that we can proclaim the excellencies of him who saved us from darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. Let's pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this time that you have given us to learn from your word and to understand it. Lord, we are praying that you would help us to see that you have gifted each and every one of us to bring an impact in the local church, and that, God, you are the one who blesses our efforts, and it is not of our own doing. It is all an act of grace. And God, will you enable us to serve you in the full capacity that you have blessed us with in our bodies, the time you have blessed us with, and even the money, the resources that you've given us. Help us to bless the church with these things. Lord, I pray that you would convict us of where we lack in our obedience to your service. Lord, I pray that you will draw us to come to the church and to bless others, to find those who are suffering, who are in need of prayer, or who are weak, and to encourage those who are growing. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in all of our efforts. God, we want to glorify and proclaim the excellencies of you who reigns supreme in all the universe. And so help us to find our purpose and meaning in life ultimately for your praise and glory. We thank you, Father, that you are near to us and that you hear our prayers. And we are asking this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were blessed by the sermon today. If you would like to learn about the gospel or know more about our church, please visit pluslifepeople.com. Remember to subscribe for more content. Until next time, stay blessed.